I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, is the automatically deleted husband. Automatically deleted again. You'll be excited to know. One of the concerns I've had is, especially during the winter times, my walking slows. And it slowed a lot this winter. But the good news is, with the warmer weather, and because I got new heels and the boots, especially this week, I'm already at 22 miles for the week. So with one more walk, I should make my, because my goal usually has been to do a marathon a week. So I should be able to do that for the first time in a while this week. But one of the things I find is that since I've started pushing again, I feel things coming back very quickly. And one of the ways I saw that, one is the pace was good, and it stayed good. And because this is, I did 10 miles, 5 miles, then 7 today. I noticed the pace seems to be coming back, which encouraged me. But then I got to the chin-up bar today, and I did a three-second, it's not the nine-second pull-up, but I did a three-second pull-up. Got up there, held myself over the bar. The bar is under the chin for at least 3 seconds. So, my wife, dear lady, the woman I love and adore, I told you, I made the promise to try to do what I can to live to be 90. More evidence. Again, one of the things I thought of is, for people my age, I probably walk faster than most of them can run, a mile, for example. Because most people I know of, and I'm finding a lot of people, the number of people younger than me that are dying is just kind of like, Anyway. I sent a postcard to Susanna today. Tomorrow is her birthday, but I sent one earlier. I'll probably send another one tomorrow because it's her day, and I'm just that way. I know, I understand. I'll get them back, but one day she might find out. But I wrote, there was a bit of sensationalism made today about Fort Rucker. I scribbled over this. So that is more flash than substance. Our date on July 12, 2007 was a big deal to me and the last day of Mr. Tamal's life. Love, Dad. Mr. Tamal. That gentleman there dying. the Good Samaritan. I have these concerns. But there was apparently, because I'm on some of these email lists, and some of them, a lot of people will, I think what happens is, in order to keep an organization going, you have to have constant stuff. And somebody put out a blurb, I forget who it was now. I ignore them, but I saw early in the headline, Fort Rucker. So apparently some woman in Fort Rucker has made some statement about the amount of deaths that are occurring in helicopter pilots, the trainees, and so forth, and from a variety of things, and she corresponds it to the vaccine. I did some quick checking because apparently she's made this suggestion some time ago. Obviously she would be belittled about this. So I don't know the veracity of all this stuff. But what I see is that because it at least was seeded some time ago, maybe there's some new information. I don't know. But I'm wondering how much is, let's take this and we need the sensationalism. If what she says is complete hogwash, if what she says is completely true, I don't know. But obviously, the issue is, we were at Fort Rucker. Fort Rucker was a rather big deal. And so I watched that, and I thought it was interesting because, again, there's the sensationalism aspect, and I want to encourage my family to keep their eyes open to this because you can be drawn into sensationalism. You know, in reference to COVID, a while back, there was the movie done, The Real Anthony Fauci, and it was produced by the Children's Health Defense, or whatever it is. And so I think it was pretty well done. I haven't. It was pretty well done. But in order to see it, you had to sign up. Actually, I saw it from another technique. I downloaded it, so I have it locally. Because this is one of the organizations where, yes, here's a bunch of stuff. Sign up. Sign up to do this and whatnot. It's kind of like, I don't want to. Because that is fundamental purpose. They want to get you on the list. And most of the time I ignore it. I work around it. In their case, I did sign up. I got the video elsewhere because in order to watch the video on their site, you had to, it was that suck you in stuff. We want to keep you on a tether. And I've found it another way. So I have a local copy. I didn't watch it on their site. However, I ended up staying on their mailing list because the organization that does this promotes a whole bunch of stuff. And obviously it's, you know, economically driven and so forth. And it really bothers me. And I think that's right. I think they were the one that actually sent the thing about Ford Rucker. I think so. But see, what concerns me is sensationalism around something that may be substantively true. It's like the died suddenly video, which I think they did a very good job on the content, but the presentation has some sensationalism to it. It's done a lot of times this way, and you know, I really get concerned about the sensationalism. I think works against your credibility. You can sensationalize a bit to say, look, this is important. But at the same time, if you turn that into a marketing technique, that marketing technique throws out the credibility to me, I think, of what you're trying to. But anyway, because obviously, I don't know about the particular, you know, I will contend, you know, yes, the COVID vaccine is literally a killer. Because I did see someone comment, whether it was, one of the things is people need to make use of the D-dimer test. And, I should find out the date of that. There was a video done called The Pre-Vaccinated Should Take a D-Dimer Test. This was put out January 17th of 2022, over a year ago. That was by me, by the way, because it's simply, here's a test that can, and again, it's forget the sensationalism, because you don't hear much about the D-Dimer Test. You rarely hear much anymore about microclots. But it's a real problem. And there's a simple test for it. And it's the kind of thing, because I checked. I could go to the hospital that's, I almost walked, I was, you know, in my walk today, because of the route I took, I was within less than half a mile, quarter mile of it, that you could go there for $25, get a D-dimer test. It's just, here's the results. No one reviews it for you, whatnot. Just here's the results for $25. And my suggestion was you do that before you get your vaccine, and then sometime after you get the vaccine, especially if you do this for your kids, because you can find out whether or not you may have permanently damaged your kids. And then you can say, yes, I followed the advice of authorities and damaged my kids. That wouldn't go over well, would it, for a typical parent? So, but that was the advice, and apparently the issue is still there. But again, it's not the flash. But speaking of flesh, you know, I mentioned the last couple of days, several of the videos, and I have them on there from Dan Dix of Press for Truth, and the event that occurred where there was this group there, you know, the transsexual group, and Billboard Chris was there with his billboard, and he got interviewed by Dan Dix, and he was assaulted, and there have been subsequent things from that, and yet another one today, because apparently somebody, the Canadian press, one of the Canadian press, said, here's a video showing this assault by the assaults that occurred at this rally. And they used Dan Dix's video. And they accused, they said, attacks by both sides. So they had the video evidence right in front of them. And you can see, yeah, I do think, you know, especially the way, not as much Billboard Chris, but the way Dan Dix talk with the police was a little aggressive, which concerns me. But at the same time, him being there and those kind of things, no, they weren't the aggressors. But the news agency had to do the moral equivalence thing. And that's the concern. So to what degree are we, you know, see, I mentioned yesterday that we're not called to inflame, or I forget the words I used. I may have been a little bit, you know, because we're called to proclaim, but we're not called to inflame. So, you know, if those people do those things, that's their issue. Those are people outside. It's those insides, 1 Corinthians 5, I think. And I did double check again because that passage in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, I think, we'll have it here so we have it. Okay, 5:12. For what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Is not those inside the church whom you are to judge? That's the ESV. Note the interesting thing. The NASB. For what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do not. But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. That's the NASB. It was interesting to me, the NIV, God will judge those outside, expel the wicked person from among you. Where was it that I saw? I thought I saw it in another translation, the NASB, for what have I also to judge those outside? Do you not judge those within? But the thing is interesting, because I thought it was another translation that did this, but anyway. The ESV, for what do I have to do with judging outsiders? It's not those inside the church. The church is added. That's not in the text. So why would they do that? Why would they do that? Okay, there's a note on the ESV, Greek original, those inside. Why did they add church? NASB, what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do not judge those who are within the church. And they have that marked as that's added text. It doesn't say that. So why do they add that? Why are they adding words in order to help, you know, context? What authority do they have to add to the Bible? You know, because again, it is, it, like I say, the LSV would be the good example here, because do you not judge those within? And when I did check on the Greek, the you know, there's no form of ecclesia or synagogue in there. So it's those out and those in. Which, again, I find this so fascinating and a concern. But the applying that, when these transsexuals groups have their do their stuff, if they're doing it, that's for them. We proclaim obedience to Christ. We do not endorse them. We do not seek what they are offering. When it comes to the idea that public schools, well, why you have your kids in public schools? You've submitted to the world. You've placed your kids in the authority of the world. And now you have an obligation to be a part of the world in order to protect your kids? No, pull your kids out and don't be a part of the world. You know, there's so many verses on that. But anyway, what I found fascinating is, again, the highly reliable news source, the Babylon Bee. Article today was trans visibility at all time high, which obviously this is satire, and they showed a collage of three pictures. One is the woman shooter from here in Nashville, Tennessee. One is another event. I don't know where that is. The one in the middle. But the photo on the left is a screen capture from the video from Dan Dix, which I thought was interesting. You know, anyway, that one of these women shouting, and what you don't see is you see this. Well, I think it's a man. I don't know. You know, how can you tell? I think it's a man dressed as a woman with long hair and whatnot. I don't know. Shouting. You see the PFT, the Press for Truth microphone in front of this person. But what you don't see is Billboard Chris standing to the right, because that's where it was. Anyway, so I found that fascinating. But so we see all these things. We see the issues in Canada. We see the issues in the United States. We see the sensationalism. Now, the good news. Yoweri Museveni, I think I probably butchered that name. He's the president of Uganda. And I have, because I put this, I put the video of this on Kozlowski.org. He was interviewed. And one line is in particular, Africa should provide the lead to save the world from this degeneration and decadence, which is really very dangerous for humanity, because Uganda outlawed homosexuality today, yesterday, whatever. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, I have trouble with, you know, using the state to impose this, but it's kind of like, that's a different culture than the United States. I really think where I'm seeing the greatest hope of, you know, the common term is revival. You know, there was this event in Kentucky or whatnot. People say, oh, look, a revival and whatnot. No, if you want to see a real revival, you want to see a rejuvenation of the Christian community where it seems to be happening, where I'm noticing the most is Africa and Russia. Because both those places, Africa's obviously the large continent, but there are a number of countries. Nigeria is overtly Christian, Ethiopia, Zambia, I think is, and several other are really strong Christian. And of course, Uganda, which is very interesting because a lot of these things is radical changes from, I think Nigeria has had a strong Christian presence for a long time. I think so has Ethiopia, even though they have other issues. And of course, the Soviet Union got rid of Christianity from within the culture, but it's reviving extremely rapidly in the last 30 years. And, you know, of course, you know, you got to condemn Vladimir Putin because he said, we don't want parent one, parent two, parent three. We don't want that influence from the West. Therefore, Russia's bad, right? And obviously, now you're going to say the Uganda's bad because they outlawed LGBTQ plus SIN. You know, so I find this fascinating. So where I'm seeing hope for a rebirth, a flourishing, a renewed flourishing, an overt flourishing of those who say, no, my Lord is Jesus Christ and I will follow in his ways. Seems to be in Africa, various places in Africa, and various places in Russia. Obviously, Russia has, for example, especially in the region of Dagestan, a very strong presence of Islam. You want a strong presence of Christianity? That would be the Donbass region, which has, you know, made the reunification with Russia. Apparently, Christianity is really strong there. And that's one of the reasons why, because you know, that Ukraine has been bombing civilians there, because the Ukrainian government, you know, is outlawing the Orthodox Church and arresting the leadership and doing all sorts of foul things because, you know, they're the wrong form of Christianity. So either way, it encourages me to see that there are places in this world where Christianity seems to be flourishing. You know, I've wondered if I ever were to leave, because I don't know enough about South America. There's apparently a lot of freedom in a lot of places within places like Mexico and so forth, but I don't think it's I don't think it has that drive of a Christianity. I think there's more of a drive of freedom, you know, but I don't know. Not freedom in the sense the way Christ talks about freedom. But the West of, you know, Western Europe and whatnot, that it's, you know, it's falling apart very quickly. So the places in Africa, I don't, you know, I know that there are places, you know, the one thing that I studied a while back was the early rain church within China and so forth. But so there are places, there are pockets within China that where Christ remains holding his grip, even though it's officially atheist country. I don't know. But I don't see that. Japan doesn't seem like a good idea at all. You know, because again, the leadership, they're Moonies, literal Moonies. You know, you don't hear much about the Moonies in the U.S. as much as we used to, but the leadership of the Japanese government, including prime minister and whatnot, they're Moonies. Kind of like, oh, okay. But anyway, you know, and I know that South Korea has a significant presence of Christianity, but I'm not sure because there seem to be other issues. I don't think I'd fit well in Russia because I think there are some cultural things that I would bump into very strongly. The place I really wonder if I would fit is Africa, except for the one issue that most of the countries, you know, because I don't think I'd fit necessarily well in like Egypt or Libya. Libya's a little uncomfortable. But places like Uganda, except places like Uganda, Ethiopia, and Nigeria, where I might actually be more comfortable, I would stand out. Because this is where the population, this is not the darker shade. These people are black. And so I would stand out like a sore thumb. And, you know, that would be an issue. Probably. I don't know. Maybe not. Especially with an overt Christian overtone. I think there would be significant welcoming. You know, I knew, had some people we used to be part of the, you know, when we were at MediView, they were medical missionaries in Mozambique, and they stood out. and unfortunately, I don't know, I don't remember the details, but they had a young son, I think teenage at the time, and he died there. I don't remember the reason why. Something got to him, you know, an illness, whatnot, which was most unfortunate. You know, I've dealt with two families, at least two families, watching young kids die. It hurts. It hurts badly. You know what it's like to have young kids and not see them for 10 years? It's kind of like watching a family where the young kids die. It hurts. But there's God's grace. There's God's grace. I had some technical issues, and I messed up my website, and so I backed up. I tidied up today, and my walking took away a lot, because you got to balance the need to walk with working. But anyway, my lady, my wife, your husband's healthy. I don't know. I remember when I, you know, because again, was it 2 days ago when I went to the Willoughby's Farms, their store, and it was a reminder of the 5K race that I entered. And I, you know, I sent the medal to Susanna, speaking of, you know, obviously her birthday is tomorrow. Does she know about that medal? Did she ever see it? Did she, you know, my assumption is she's never seen it. And of course, if that's true, now that we're several months away, if she finds out, what will that be like? What will that be like for the other kids to find out that medal's been there for months and been isolated? And in the box was the DVD with a video on it, of course. What will it be like? You know, because there's so much of this stuff built up, that means the wall has to be even stronger. I am working on Shofar Nexus, you know, the email stuff, the mailing list aspect and whatnot, to be able to help people that would otherwise end up at Willoughby Farms. You know, it's to protect them. There's more stuff that came out from Seymour Hersh today, you know, because he has pointed out, because there's this contrary narrative that was put out about some stray Ukrainian people rented a yacht and went and bombed the, which is absolutely ridiculous. A number of people have said, for this reason, this reason, this, you know, I mean, stack of rational reason. No, this is absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, because again, with what Seymour Hersh did and described, and of course there was February 8th, I believe, he announced it, and on my voicemail on February 9th, I gave you the details. Not from him. You know, I took the beginning he said, and here's, I gave you some of the technical details why the story he relates is reasonable. And of course, the story that it's somebody in the UK, published this other idea, this narrative. It's stupid. It's really stupid. So Seymour Hersh came out with yet more information today. I don't know if it was anything overwhelming at this point, but you know, again, to show that the story that's put out is a narrative put out by the intelligence community in order to belittle the real story. It's a common technique. You know, it's been used for years. But anyway, because again, the rational conclusion, which most rational countries did, said, you know, the obvious parties to have done this would be the U.S., especially when Victoria Nuland and President Biden said before the event that Nord Stream 2 will not happen. So if they say it will not happen, and then it doesn't happen, do you notice any connection here? Anyway, but no, we can't do that because we're Americans. America does no wrong, right? If you say otherwise, you'll be arrested and thrown in jail and persecuted. Which is not as much of a joke as I'm making it out to be. Again, he's in prison today. It's not a joke. But I'm going to continue. I'm way behind, but I'm going to continue to press on. I made some adjustments because, again, there's a lot of other things. I'm trying to make sure there are no holes. Because if I leave a hole in this, someone may die. This is not a game. I have to make sure that if someone dies, it's because of another mistake. It's not because of a technical error I made. My part is the technical end. I have to do this right. Because it's potentially torture, prison, death for somebody who would be involved. And if I'm going to try to protect the whistleblower, whether they're high profile, whether they're the sex slave, or whether the guy who exposed the stealing of penny candy, I need to make sure that there's no technical holes. Since I know how to exploit the technical holes, I know how to plug them. And I'm spending the time to make sure they're plugged because it's an act of love. And, you know, because I'm abandoned, I have nothing to lose. Do it right. Do it well. As an act of love towards others. If I succeed or if I fail, that doesn't matter. I have the great joy in the grace of God to try. And I'm going to try. Because I'm striving to be obedient to Christ. And also, one of the things about obedience to Christ is, as a husband, I'm called to never leave or forsake my wife. Because my relationship with my wife is a reflection of Christ's relationship with his elect. So by command of God, I will not turn from my wife. And there's the other issue. I think she's cute. I love her. And I want her back.